is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio. Lord have mercy.
Fire pan and we got Babylon and the free jack could never get me down. And though they tried to use me and abuse me, I leave them with the frown. Me bona fire pan and we got Babylon and the free jack could never get me down. And though they tried to use me with the frown.
Good evening. It's another wet Tuesday here on Kenny's Corner. And I have the vibes running because Chris is my number one engineer. And when Chris played the tunes, fireman, I tell you, we're going to have a good time this evening. In studio with me is Dr. Gemma Roll. And Dr. Gemma Roll is going to speak with us about gut health. Dr. Gemma Roll comes with a wealth of knowledge. When I tell you, she is by far one of the most educated females that I've ever come across. Her mother was a gem. And when I speak about her mom sewed into my life. She was my mother's good friend. Mm-hmm. And she said, Kendanique, you master the communication skill. You use it for your effort and you use it effortlessly. And I must say that Gemma and I have been friends all of our lives.
Yes, ma'am.
So much so that we don't tell people we're friends. This is my cousin.
Oh.
I know all of her aunts and I call him auntie. And even when I see one of her aunts to work at labor, I miss and say, Andy, and I just say correct myself because it's Miss Bryce, straight. But this evening, we're going to talk about gut health. Dr. Gemma, go ahead and introduce yourself, colleagues, all of your NHI people. Gemma, you was a big deal. Gemma, you and you was the president of the Doctors Association or something like that?
No.
Tell him what you was doing, Gemma.
So my name is Gemma Anwen Roll. I am a gastroenterologist. I'm double boarded in internal medicine and gastroenterology. I am the immediate past president of the Medical Association of the Bahamas.
You're a big deal, Gemma.
This summer.
You have an orange passport when you go to the airport.
So I am the immediate past president of the Medical Association, previously sat on the NHI board. I specialize in gut health and or digestive diseases. I'm a mom of three. I'm a Zeta.
Yeah, Gemma, we know. I really wanted you to pledge Delta like me. I wanted you in my camp, Gemma.
Right. But as you know, my sister, Legacy, she is a Zeta as well.
So, and we're still a part of
the Divine Nine.
The Divine Nine, and it's about sisterhood. And if I had to pick a sister, Gemma, I'd like for it to be you. You are the creme de la creme, Gemma.
That is so sweet of you.
Thank you, now, Gemma. I have to get through my text communications because my texters have sent numerous texts and they want to find out information in regards to gut health. One of the more foreboding questions has been tonight in regards to gut health. When it comes out through your mouth, how should I ask this question? Does bad gut health translate into bad breath?
Very good question.
Okay.
So the medical term for bad breath, halitosis, right? So I would say that all of us gastroenterologists, by the way, I'm one of five gastroenterologists, the only female gastroenterologist in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
Yes.
I should do an ad for you and just say that you're like, I love that. Wonderful, Gemma, go ahead.
And perhaps American board certified who has maintained...
Maintenance is important.
Maintained my board certification.
Okay.
So halitosis is a complaint that we perhaps get common enough where persons will come in very concerned that either family members or close relatives would say coming from them especially during the time that we all had to wear masks. You can smell your own breath. I would say that halitosis oftentimes just starts in the mouth, but it can be multifactorial. So where the stomach is involved, there are certain conditions of the stomach or the digestive tract that can contribute to halitosis, such as perhaps reflux or a condition called, or an infection, H. pylori infection that's very commonly found in the stomach, this bacteria. But it starts off in the mouth, right? Whether it be you're dehydrated, you're not getting enough saliva flowing to swallow the bacteria from your mouth, your dental hygiene, certain foods that you may eat, sulfur-containing foods, garlic, onions, things like that. But that's why you carry around your toothbrush and maybe some mouthwash. But for those who have it on a daily basis, where you would start off is see your dentist. Make sure that your teeth are clean, your tongue is clean. And then perhaps avoiding certain foods that may worsen your halitosis.
This text reads, I get bloating and gas all the time. Is that normal, or is it a sign of something more serious that needs checking out?
Well, bloating and gas, when a patient presents, we have to think about the demographic. We have to think about the age group that they're presenting, right? In an older population, when someone presents with bloating or any digestive issues, we must think, let's rule out a malignancy, okay? And also looking at certain other indices, such as their blood work, are they anemic, do they have other symptoms? Mm-hmm. And we'd consider looking in their stomach. So as a gastroenterologist, we have that ability to put a camera down someone's mouth and look in the stomach, look in the colon, okay? So gas and bloating in the elderly population or the older population, we'd want to rule out certain things, especially if it comes with other symptoms. For a younger individual, more than likely, it's going to be diet-related, okay? Mm-hmm. As young people on the go, we have easy access to fast food that may not always be healthy, and more gas and others, gas-producing foods, we can go into them. But that, for the majority of times, is going to be the cause. And then also H. pylori, which I mentioned, is very common. There was a study done several years ago that showed that 50% of persons presenting for endoscopy ended up having H. pylori, which is a bacteria in the stomach, very common in developing countries. In fact, if you find yourself in Florida, they may not see it as much. But here, we are experts in the treatment of H. pylori. Okay, because it's so common.
And that's something that's in your gut.
That's something that lives in the stomach.
Okay.
So ordinarily, the stomach is responsible for killing any bacteria that we may consume from contaminated foods.
Okay.
But this bacteria is very tricky. It's special. It finds its way buried in the lining of the stomach, and it can live there by creating a shell. The shell is this gas called urea. So that's one of the ways that we can test you for it, okay? So it's able to stay within the shell, within the stomach, cause things such as the bloating, the indigestion, the nausea. Sometimes it can change your bowel habits. But the reason that you really want to get checked for H. pylori is because it can cause stomach cancer, okay? So there is a association between H. pylori and the development of stomach cancer. In fact, I think it even causes colon cancer, but the studies are still out.
Okay. We have another question here, Gemma, as well. Let me get straight to that. And this question reads, is there a big difference between IBS and inflammatory bowel disease? And are either of them more prevalent in our Bahamian community?
We
have a caller. Go ahead, Gemma. You can answer.
Okay, very good question again. So there is a big difference between IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, and IBD, which is inflammatory bowel disease. Some persons can have both of them simultaneously, right?
Really?
But irritable bowel syndrome pretty much is defined by abdominal pain or discomfort that's associated with a change in bowel habits, and that can be diarrhea or constipation. And one of the key things, too, would be that pain or discomfort is relieved by having a bowel movement.
Okay.
All right. Now, along with the gut, what we know is that there is a communication between the brain and the gut, and just something goes awry in that communication. So this is what causes IBS to mm-hmm. happen. So things that can worsen it can be environmental, psychosocial, stress, hormones, all of these things can exacerbate your IBS.
Okay.
Now, IBD, this is an umbrella of diagnoses such as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. This is where there's actual inflammation in the gut. For Crohn's disease, it can be anywhere from the mouth to the anus, where ulcers form, erosions, just a lot of inflammation from anywhere from the mouth to the anus. And ulcerative colitis only affects the colon, where there's actual inflammation in the colon itself. Okay. So the treatments are totally different. The diagnosis, to make the diagnosis, may be similar, but they have different features.
Okay. All right. We have a caller on the line, Chris. Good evening, caller. You are on.
How are you doing on your guest?
We're well, thank you.
This is Kenny.
Hi.
Yeah, but you know, you got the best voice on the radio, so I'd always remember it. But your guest is putting out some good information, and I'm glad she's saying this. And, you know, a close friend of mine's he's an avid exerciser and stays fit and et cetera. I just found out, this is something that's the discussion. As he was saying, the H. pylori was discovered, and he has this pre-ulcerative condition, I guess. But I think he had mentioned the duodenum. And he also spoke about this imbalance with the flora, the good bacteria versus the bad bacteria. I guess when one overpowers the next. But I wanted you to clear up something on the public airways, because I actually go from, I don't know if it's visceral, but I go from what I experience when I eat and then the movements subsequently and what I also observe. And so being that I like how you give the whole chronology of with gas being produced, et cetera, the halitosis, et cetera, and I always talk, because I have a natural healing book, and it's burping, because it's annoying when people burp. And I notice most of the men, my friends, even ladies, and if they have big bellies, I notice that when they, you know, most men, when they eat, right, and there's not anybody close to me, my observation is that when people eat and they burp excessively, is that a sign of something? Because it constipation can also be a contribution for bad breath also, right? So what I'm saying is I notice people burp excessively because I eat, right? And so I eat gaseous foods, et cetera, but normally I thought it was natural to pass the gas out versus excessively burping. And I've read over the years that excessive burping is an indication of bad stomach conditions, et cetera, and also, I was listening to a doctor last night on a program, and something very unusual came up, and he had juxtaposed, he had like 7 or 8 other conditions. But this is a new study he's found. He said people would find it hard to believe, but he actually juxtaposed periodontal disease, et cetera, with heart conditions. I think it's some fallout with to do with inflammation, et cetera. I didn't grasp it like that right away. I didn't listen to it, but it was unbelievable. I guess you could probably go and look for it, but it was really mind-blowing that he's linking this periodontal diseases with heart diseases, and it shows you how it affects the body from just the jaws in itself. I don't know if you heard about that, but I just want you to clear up the myth about burping, because some people actually think it's healthy to be burping excessively, and it can't be. And another thing is, I don't know if you are an enterologist or gastroenterologist, whatever. But
yes,
a lot of doctors and people spread false information in that when you have healthy peristalsis, right? They know that when you eat within a half an hour, 15 minutes, you should pass. And I'm 61, and that's what I do. I have a condition. I have venous problems. I get a little borderline high blood pressure now and then, and you know, Some doctors don't even explain to you how the different heart medications work, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes you have to be knowledgeable and equipped with certain things. And then also our bodies communicate to us. And if we listen to our bodies, we can also learn. And I also, I don't just go by what I read. I go by what I observe with my body. So what I'm saying is sometimes, and you look at the condition of the past, and my daughter, she's 9, and I was telling her, you know, she goes to school and different, I don't know what they eat, but the diet, as children get older, they stray away from what you teach them. The diet helps to be impoverished when your feces is floating. You know, explain these things because people need to know. You know, I'll just hang up and listen.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. We appreciate your call.
What did you say his name is?
Say it again.
52.
That's 52. We have Gemma. Do you want to respond to that, or can you respond to that? Because
okay.
It was such a convoluted question.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that he mentioned. So as it relates to his friend that had H. pylori, and he mentioned something about a duodenal ulcer. H. pylori causes ulcers. Ulcers form in the stomach or in the duodenum, which is the first part of the small intestine. So that perhaps was what your friend experienced, a duodenal ulcer caused by H. pylori. H. pylori is treatable. You would get medication that you would take for 14 days. If anybody is treating you for H. pylori and it's not for 2 weeks, they are not treating you for H. pylori. And I must say that because patients come in with these halfway treatments for what I presume to be H. pylori, and it doesn't get rid of it. And we must confirm that it's eradicated because of its risk of stomach cancer. then jump to what he said about heart disease being connected to periodontal disease. That's because of the flow of bacteria from the mouth. If your mouth isn't clean and you're swallowing all this bacteria all the time, bacteria causes inflammation. So it's that cycle of bacteria, inflammation, through the bloodstream, affecting the heart, affecting the plaques that form. He mentioned something about floating stool. Floating stool, sure, may be a sign that there's something wrong because of fat malabsorption. When your body does not absorb fat properly, you may have foul-smelling stool that floats, okay? What else did he mention?
I don't recall. But Gemma, separate and apart from that, what made
burping.
The burping. Yeah.
So burping, yes. So burping is a normal response to you consuming something that is gas-producing, whether it's the cruciferous vegetables or gas-producing vegetables, the broccoli, the onion, the cabbage, the cauliflower. Yes. Certain beverages, the carbonated beverages. Like a Coke.
Or ginger ale.
Definitely. Ginger ale. You know, we drink that ginger ale so that we can get that good burp out. But that's it. That one burp, that's all it is. But there are people who are walking around just burping haphazardly.
Okay.
You know? So again, it depends on what other associated symptoms they have. But this is a very common presentation of H. pylori. There are also certain habits. Some people swallow air without realizing it. They just swallow air. A lot of sighing they do. Mm. They're swallowing air, sucking hard candy, chewing gum, drinking beverages from a straw. Some people only drink from a straw. We got these Stanley cups. They're very popular now. We're drinking from a straw all the time.
Right.
So these are habits that can cause excess gas to build up in the gut, and you're walking around burping. Now, if you're walking around burping, I strongly suggest that you get yourself tested for at least H. pylori, discuss it with your physician, because burping as well, along with maybe some nausea, maybe some, can be an alarm. Well, no, I wouldn't say alarm. Nope. I'm correcting myself. Not alarm. But it can be a feature associated with something that needs to be investigated.
Okay. Gemma, we still have so many questions. We have a question on probiotics. We have a question on digestive issues. Let me just get to these. Kenny, please ask Dr. Roll about sugar substitutes and artificial sweeteners. Are they helpful for gut health, or can they actually cause more problems like gas and bloating? We also have a caller on the line. Gemma, can you answer that before we go to the call?
Okay, as it relates to sweeteners, similar to a person who may be lactose intolerant, we're all more familiar with lactose intolerance. That's when you consume dairy products. You may have flatulence, you may have bloating, you may have diarrhea, because we lack an enzyme called lactase, mm-hmm. or persons who are lactose intolerant. Lack an enzyme called lactase that helps you to digest dairy products,
okay.
right? Similarly, these sugar substitutes have other types of sugars that are there, right? And so your body would require the ability to process the other types of sugars. We got galactose, sucrose, fructose. All of these require special enzymes to digest. And so if there is alteration in the gut that wouldn't allow you to digest sweeteners and whatnot, normally you may have symptoms as a result. I hope that answers your question.
It does. It does. I think so.
And so for persons who they've already had their endoscopy, they've been checked for H. pylori, natural sugars that are varying types, I would have patients avoid foods that are rich in certain carbohydrates or sugars.
So, Dr. Roll, do you do the colonoscopy? Do you do colonoscopies?
Yes, I do colonoscopy. That is like the crux of gastroenterology.
So, explain to me what a colonoscopy is.
Oh, this is amazing. I love this question. So, a colonoscopy. Because
I just have this idea, and I think it's probably from watching TikTok.
Did you have your colonoscopy app?
Dr. Carol gave me my form to bring in, but I just haven't had it. I just get that. I did that. It's a tube that you put in the bottom,
right.
and then my stomach gets flat. I just want to know about that. I know that is very cosmetic, but tell me what it is, please. I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
So first of all, the colon, which is the large intestine, is the last part of the gut, right? It is the large intestine is responsible for the formation of stool.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that stool comes out in the consistency it does is because the colon is responsible for reabsorbing water back into the bloodstream.
Okay.
So it is mainly that. And then about 10% of the nutrients that we consume is reabsorbed in the colon. But the colon also has a part of it, the rectum. And the purpose of the rectum is to expel waste from the body at the appropriate time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in the colon, just like in the breast, just like on the cervix, just like in the prostate, cancer can form. But the thing about the colon is that colon cancer starts with a polyp, which is a small growth. We are able to, gastroenterologists and some other enthusiasts, I'll call them, we are able to put a camera into the large intestine, into the rectum. And we push this long, flexible tube that's probably the width of a finger. But the length, very long length, about a meter or more, we push this long, flexible tube into the rectum to look at the entire large intestine.
Am I asleep during this process?
You are sedated for this process.
Okay.
Now, the sleep isn't like a major operation where you have to be in a deep sedated state. You're breathing on your own. You can follow them, really aware. You're just kept comfortable. Okay? Mind you, you can have a colonoscopy with you wide awake.
I wouldn't want it.
If you look at on YouTube, Dr. Oz has a great thing on there where he did the colonoscopy live. He was awake. He was watching the screen. I like to sedate my patients because when they're comfortable, I'm comfortable.
Right.
So a colonoscopy takes about 20 minutes for me to push this long flexible tube into the rectum, to the beginning of the large intestine. And then I slowly come back and I look for abnormalities. The polyps that I mentioned, we can remove them or biopsy. But for the most part, we remove any abnormality that we see that's amenable to the intervention at the time.
So is that the same? Is that the same thing where the fecal matter comes out in the tube?
No, the colonic.
Colonic.
You're talking about the colonic.
Okay, that's the colonic.
So a colonic or colon hydrotherapy is where a tube is blindly placed into the rectum and probably as far as it can be reached safely and without any discomfort, and water is flushed into the colon. So if you're filling the bowel with fluid, that has to come out. Almost like a cathartic. So along with that fluid that's put in, the feces is gently sucked out. Now, the colon is a naturally cleansing organ, self-cleansing organ, okay? What you put in your mouth. Oh, and that's one of the other things that the gentleman, Mr. 52, mentioned, although he's 61. Anyway, he mentioned, he mentioned that how often or what's normal to have a bowel movement.
Because he said he has one every day.
And he thinks, and he says that it's supposed to be natural that when you eat, you should automatically. Now, that's something called a gastrocolic reflex, where you eat something and then within an hour or so, you want to have a bowel movement. That's fine. That's your normal. But it's not that it's abnormal if it doesn't occur as frequently. Okay. So what's normal is 3 times a day to even 3 times a week. What we care about is whether or not you're having symptoms as a result of how frequently or not frequently you're having a bowel movement. So back to the colonoscopy, very different between a colonic. We're not seeing anything. We're not screening you for colon cancer or colon polyps with a colonic. But with a colonoscopy, we are not only looking for cancer and polyps, we can remove the polyp and prevent you from having colon cancer. It is the only cancer that modality can prevent the cancer itself. What do I mean by that? When we do a mammogram and we're looking at the breast, we're looking for a cancer. And that mammogram cannot intervene and remove the tumor, right?
No.
But a colonoscopy, we can do that. We go in, we look, we can remove, biopsy. God forbid you have a tumor found, and if it's not amenable to being removed at the time, we refer you to surgery. Okay. When do we start? At 45.
And you do the surgery?
No, I don't do the surgery. That's where a general surgeon comes in.
Okay.
They're more invasive.
Okay.
So I go through a natural orifice. A surgeon will either cut the belly or go laparoscopically through ports.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, good evening. You are on.
Yes, thank you, and good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to salute your previous caller.
Thank you.
He's very, very knowledgeable. Okay. Now, I want to piggyback on something. One of your responses and also a comment that he made. Now, I think he asked about, or you, in the interchange, mentioned something about the effect on the heart. And also, in one of your responses, you responded to the floating stool. Now, I learned that it was normal. It's okay to have a floating stool. That your stool should float. The good thing. In regard to the heart, there's a specific question I have. Question I want to know: in your study, if there is any form of emergency in which you actually would need to call for the ambulance, especially related something related to heart, where the person falls out and is unconscious. In your field, if there is any emergency that you need to call the ambulance. And I have a follow-up question or comment on that.
When is a good time to call the ambulance?
Yeah, if there is any complication or any situation that relates directly to the heart or something of the sort where the person actually falls out, And then you need to call the ambulance. Is there any frequency or any occurrence of that? Are you aware of anything like?
As it relates to a GI health, gut health?
Uh-huh.
To call an ambulance. I can think of a few scenarios, but let's say someone has a large volume rectal bleed. You know, they go
that's
to the
ambulance.
Right? Yeah. Well, you know, and they pass, feel like they're going to pass out, or it's just the volume is frightening. You may want to call an ambulance or get your or find yourself
now,
in the emergency room.
Here is a concern I have. Another thing, it may not be in your direct control, so to speak. But is there a practice in which if you need to call the ambulance and you call and an ambulance is not available and you attempt to head to the hospital in a private vehicle, where is it okay for the ambulance to return a call to you and say, no, we have an ambulance available. Please return to your location and we will come and meet you there. Is that a common practice?
I have no, I really don't know. And I think that if I attempted to answer that question, I might get in trouble.
I'm not going
to
burden your program. But I have a very serious concern about that, and I will follow up in the morning. I didn't get a chance to do this morning because a case like that recently happened, and the person is now deceased.
Wow. That's unfortunate. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Much younger than myself.
Oh, boy. But if I can answer and make a clarify the thing about the floating stool, okay?
Yes, right.
So when stool floats, a couple things occur, right? I mentioned when floating stool, well, let's say persistent floating stool is an issue, it is suggestive of fat malabsorption, okay? When there is an abnormal amount of fat in the stool, it floats. So your stool may float from time to time, which is fine, which just means that there's a little more air. It's more aerated, the stool. Certain foods and dietary habits may cause that. But this is not something that should be persistently happening, okay? Because of the density of stool, naturally, it'll drop to the bottom, okay? But persistently floating stool, foul-smelling, is suggestive of fat malabsorption.
Okay, I'm going to double-check. Because, actually, as you mentioned, dietary, because this is, I think I got that information from vegan lecturers, you know. So, I guess, on the type of food that you eat. But
yeah.
I'm well aware of the burping, the type of food that will cause the burping, and all those things they say sometimes could cause burping. And I also believe that burping, they don't call it a big word, farting or whatever it is.
Flatulence.
That also could be, that could also be another condition that exists, you know?
Yes. Diet related, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you so far, and as I said, I won't press you on the matter, other matter.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm very much concerned.
Yes.
About that other matter.
Sounds so.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that conversation, Gemma. We have to ask this next question now. What's your professional opinion on intermittent fasting? Does it benefit digestive rest, or can it upset the system?
So we all know that we should all know that intermittent fasting has its benefits, and we've seen this played out when we speak about weight loss or weight maintenance, certain conditions like diabetes or glucose control. Intermittent fasting maybe as it relates to the gut. There's no harmful effect that I can mention. It's
normal then.
Yeah, I mean,
because I mean, women of a particular age they seem to be doing it a lot now in terms of this mm-hmm. intermittent fasting. Am I saying the word properly?
Yeah, intermittent.
Okay. So I have a question, some questions from the other text line. My friend did say he was diagnosed with ulcers. I don't think if a human eats 3 meals a day that we should poop once a day. What does feces that never sinks and floats is? Excuse me. Is this an indication of a lack of bulk of impoverished diet? 80% whole foods almost always stinks. I think truly what excessive burping can also be caused from constipation. What do you think of that, Gemma? The first part says here, my friend did say he was diagnosed with ulcers. I don't think if a human eats 3 times a day once. Is that a thing?
It is it is still considered normal if you have one bowel movement per day or even one bowel movement every other day.
Okay.
It is still not normal. There's several factors that go into this. What you're eating, how hydrated you are, how active you are, because physical activity helps. What is most important is how does your bowel habits make you, how does it make you feel?
Empty or full or something like that, you mean?
Well, some people have discomfort when they haven't had a bowel movement as often as they guess they would like, that they're accustomed to. The other thing I'd want to mention is that a concern would be if you are regular and having bowel movement every day, and then it changes. Mm. It changes to a few days can pass, or you now require a laxative. That can be an alarm symptom.
Now, we have some pediatric questions, Gemma, because based on these questions here, we see a lot of very obese children. I mean, 5 and 6 that are very plump. And this parent or this person says, what are some red flags for digestive problems in children that parents in the Bahamas should never ignore? And what's the difference between normal tummy aches and something serious? How do we know how do we know when we should take them to Oak Tree? When do we just have some ginger ale? How do we know?
Persistent symptoms.
Okay.
To be honest, so I'm not a pediatric gastroenterologist nor a pediatrician, right? But at the time, before we had a pediatric gastroenterologist, you know, I would see some peds. And I found that in the majority of cases, it was based on what the child was consuming. Syrup is of the devil, right? Especially if you yes. have pancakes, French toast, waffles every morning.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And there are children out there who eat that on a daily basis.
Every day?
Every single day. Wow. That's what their diet consists of. And then you have these cereals, the cereals that are colorful, right? There's got to be some harm in that.
The dyes, at least.
The dyes.
Right.
So poor diets would be the cause of abdominal discomfort. Now, again, this is multifactorial likely. There can be psychosocial factors. They're stressed out at school. They're stressed out at home. They have home troubles, right? And this manifests physically. So when you should see your pediatrician is when there is a persistence, and also if there are associated symptoms such as vomiting, the child is crying, you touch the belly and they're jumping, you know, that should perhaps be seen right away.
Okay. We have a caller on the line, Chris. Good evening, caller. You're on.
Jenny, I had to call back for some clarity. You know, I love the doctor. I love this lady. She's actually giving variables
for
certain conditions, right?
But right.
I just wanted to say it was sink, not stink, that I was intended on the text.
Oh!
So it always sinks because I eat a whole food diet. And so what I'm saying is I called because I'm trying to learn from the doc and interchange information for
sink.
Me and the public alike. So here's now that... she said that passing one or two, like once a day or the other day. And then she gave the variables for that. And so that I thank her very much for being mindful of that. But then on the other hand, I'm saying that this is an involuntary muscle. Peristalsis is involuntary. And so I learned from my body, by me, the type of foods I eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still have health problems because I have bad habits. I used to smoke weed back in the day, but, you know, the cigarette worse. But what I'm saying is, I'm telling you now that use this muscles involuntary. So once I put into my body fiber, which in, she knows that some fibers are soluble and some are insoluble. And so what that means is one will last longer and they do different jobs. Like she mentioned with water absorption, all of these things have to do with fiber, peristalsis, the rate at which the waste is moving through your body, the reabsorption. And so, and I like how she reminded me, physical activity, all of these things plays a role. And I agree with her because I see when I go running, even if I wake up and I go to the bathroom, I don't go nowhere before I go running because I have no I can pass because I know my body. And then when I go running, I come back again another hour and a half, I pass again. So what I'm saying is for me, sometimes it's like 3-4 times a day.
What, that you
and
have a bowel movement?
I don't know what I'm eating. So maybe I'm eating too much fiber, but what I'm saying is for me personally, I would not accept that pooping once a day and parking up your belly with a bunch of dog food 3 times a day is good enough for me. Now, as it relates to fasting, right, Doc? You are familiar with apoptosis, which is cell death. And so you correct me if I'm incorrect. They said it takes about 14 to 16 hours for the liver to be depleted of glycogen. That's what it says in the literature. And so what that means... Hello?
Uh-huh.
We're
yes.
here.
Uh-huh.
And so what that means then is as the liver is depleted of glycogen, I guess the liver becomes the standard because they do this before surgery, et cetera, finding if you really fasted or whatever. And then the glycogen is depleted after 16 hours. Autophagy kicks in, all right? And then you have, because you have cell death, autophagy kicks in. And so because I study God and I juxtapose God, the Almighty, with the reason to fast. And fast, that's why he said to keep the fast. So fasting really has health benefits in that it will stimulate the microbial cells to clean up dead cells. And that's what autophagy is. So that is the reason for fasting. See, most people, I don't know if people know that, but I've been reading food nutrition books for like over 30 years now. And so I like to share because only Michelle Malcolm and seems that this lady needs to be on regular because we're filling up the hospitals and we're feeding people dog food. Yeah, she mentioned about sugar and there's actual information on what she's saying, but
we are going to be back. We have to go to a quick break, and we do have more callers on the line. We are going to be back. You're listening to Kenny's Corner with Dr. Gemma Rule. We're talking about gut health for females. She is one of only few in the Caribbean, in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We will be back on Kenny's Corner.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This October, let's come together for hope, support.
The Breast Cancer Support Group Dollar Day, happening Friday, October 17th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the grounds of the Nassau Guardian, Carter Street, Oaksville.
And the best part? With just $1, you can help make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Every dollar counts towards awareness, education, and support for women battling this disease.
Come on out, drop a dollar, and stand with us for a cause that touches so many lives.
Join us on Friday, October 17th, from 7 to 10 a.m., and let's turn every dollar into hope.
That's the Sister Sister Breast Cancer Dollar Day, proudly sponsored by The Guardian Media Group, Star 106.5, and The Guardian Radio 96.9.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she says she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 327. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. All day.
Mm-hmm.
where it began. I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands
now, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Chris, you won the money today, Chris. Chris, you won. Chris, you won the money today. Chris on the money today. Chris, that's why you are my favorite. Chris, you are on the money today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Kenny's Corner. And Chris just made my evening. Chris played me some Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. And Chris knows that that song is near and dear to me. We had the Junkin Awards thrown by the JCNP for all of the winners this past February. January, February, because I broke my leg in February. And the Rhythm Band was the house band for the event. And the Rhythm Band is led by Mr. Reuben Craig Delaville. He is also the backline chairman for One Family Organization. And he and his band played Sweet Caroline, and they put it in Rake and Scrape. And for those of you that want to see the video, send me a message. I will send the video to you. But when that Rake and Scrape played at Sweet Caroline, and of course, that is what the Saxon Superstars won with on Bay Street. Four-time winners. I just wanted to plug that. Chris, you win today, baby. You win today, Chris. So we have more questions. Let's get back to business. We have to get to serious business now. There was a question, Dr. Rule. Is this a relatively normal question? Because the texter said, can gut issues cause you not to have...
Erections. If it can contribute to erectile dysfunction.
Can that contribute to erectile dysfunction if you're... peen is not work, if your gut health is off?
Sure. So this is not a question that I get on a regular basis.
No, this is not your ordinary show.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll find that in a particular chapter in the books that I've read.
Right.
But when you think about gut health, mm-hmm. So the gut is almost responsible for all the functioning of the body. So how is it directly related to that? A healthy gut helps with blood flow, right? And blood flow is what's important for erectile functioning. So if we are not eating the foods and drinking enough water, that will maintain good gut health and maintain good health overall. This dysregulation can cause perhaps or contribute to a dysfunction. Also, that all the inflammation starts because we're putting processed foods or unhealthy foods into our gut, causing inflammation. It's that constant jerk of inflammation that the body goes through that can damage blood vessels over time. In the gut is where hormones are processed.
In the gut.
Ooh. Yeah. And what helps with that processing of hormones? Probiotics. I think there was a question about probiotics, or we were talking about it. So probiotics are good to reduce inflammation, to help the body process hormones. And of course, erections are hormonally driven.
So Gemma, this is not a question from anybody. This is a question directly from me. If the hormones are, if it's done in your gut, do you get arousal from your gut, or is the arousal to want to have sex in your head?
I think it's a combination, right?
Okay, because I would want to know, like, does my gut, because I like food, and so maybe food is my trigger.
Well, there are certain foods that are aphrodisiacs, right?
like
so when
like
you, when you think about
oysters,
it, oysters and just even the process of consuming oysters, just which you have to do.
Yes.
I would think even wine, because drinking wine requires all five senses.
Oh, and really?
Just the thought of that process.
Okay,
kind of aphrodisiac, like
and I think just relaxing. What is your text? What
my,
is your text?
My colleague just asked me, "What conversation is this? You have it on the radio." One of my colleagues, gastroenterologist Dr.
He's a huge Saxon superstar. May I add?
Yes, he is.
I mean, he dances right in front of the music. Hi, Beverton. Hello. So, Gemma, these. What did he?
Why call his name?
Well, you know who's gonna call it. So, Gemma, Dr. Rule. So tell me something, as it relates to your general overall health, right? What is the single most important advice that you can give right now in terms of maintaining excellent digestive wellness, getting your colonoscopy, making sure that you eat clean? Mm-hmm. Speak specifically to women that are menopausal.
Oh, okay.
I want this. This is a menopausal question.
So what happens during menopause and perimenopause, there's fluctuations in hormones, drop in estrogen, progesterone. These are responsible for a lot of things, inclusive of how we digest food,
right,
how quickly the gut functions. So we would see declines in this during this period of time. We may see changes in how the sphincter or this muscle at the bottom of the esophagus works. It might stay open all the time, or we're more prone to heartburn, reflux, okay? Studies have shown that persons that are in this period may suffer more with bloating, constipation. And that all has to do with the fluctuations and the plummet in the hormones that are responsible for certain things. How we can remain healthy, not just in the perimenopausal state, but overall. I'm sure that all gastroenterologists, every single day that we're seeing patients, fiber somewhere comes somewhere in our conversation, okay? The gut loves fiber. Fiber. We all know what fiber is. Fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes. If it has a peel to it, if it has a seed in it, it's going to have a lot of fiber.
Okay? Watermelon,
fine.
Okay.
Fruits, vegetables, some more than others.
Some more than
avocado
others.
Avocado has a whole lot of fiber.
Right.
Prunes, we all know what prunes can do. Prunes has a whole lot of fiber. But incorporating more fiber in the diet, we should be consuming, I like the general number of 35, okay? You can count your fiber, your calories, okay? For a meal that you're eating, do a quick Google search. I'm now eating a medium-sized green apple. How much fiber is in that? It may tell you 3 grams, 5 grams. So that's 5 out of the 35 that you need to have. Now, per day. Now, it varies by the age. 25, let's say 25 to 45. Higher end if you have certain conditions of the gut that require more, that requires more fiber. Fiber supplements may give you a few grams of fiber. So if you want more bang for your buck, a nice bowl of cereal, some more than others. There are certain cereals that brand themselves with a lot of fiber. So one bowl, our serving size is much larger than what we see on the label. So a lot of people can get all of their fiber in one day by consuming their cereal.
Okay.
So fiber is very important for gut health. Probiotics, which are good bacteria or good germs. We all have good bacteria lining our gut. Sometimes we can lose a lot of our good flora. If you have a bout of diarrhea that lasts for a few days, you can lose some of your good gut flora. If you're exposed to antibiotics, tooth extraction or for a cold or whatever you're being treated with antibiotics for, you can lose your good gut flora. So replenishing that is important. Good bacteria is important for us to digest food, decrease inflammation, process those hormones. So fiber, probiotics, and also to hydrate.
Hydration.
We should be drinking a half a gallon of water every day. Okay. Yeah, let's aim for that.
Okay. Okay? Do we have an opportunity to take this call, Chris? Okay. Good evening, caller. You are on the air.
Good evening, doctor. How are you doing? Good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
Okay, good. I have a question for the doctor because I'm listening to this program and it's really, really interesting. I have a problem with my stomach. It does not digest the food as fast as it should. Sometimes I eat and 2 days sometimes before that food gets out of my stomach. And then when it gets down to get down in the colon area, that's another,
Okay, how old are you, sir?
I'm 67.
Okay, have you spoken to your doctor about this?
Many times.
Okay. And, are there other conditions such as diabetes?
Yeah, I'm diabetic.
Okay, is it well controlled?
Do
you sometimes have nausea? I'm sorry?
I say about 3/4 of the time. Okay. Sometimes I go overboard.
You're on medication?
I am on medication, yes.
Do you sometimes have nausea or feel like you want to vomit?
No.
Okay. So what you're describing is indigestion. So when you eat food, it's sitting on your chest or at the top of your abdomen, right?
Yes.
And then it sounds like you don't have regular bowel habits.
No, ma'am. Yeah. Sometimes I have to induce that by using laxative.
Okay. So
3-4 days, sometimes a week. I don't have the feelings for using
laxative. Have you ever had a colonoscopy? Okay. So certainly almost everything that you've mentioned, I would be very concerned about. So you should be seen at the very least by your primary care physician and or a gastroenterologist. Okay. Because of your age demographic and you haven't been screened. All right. You need to be sorted out. Yeah,
okay.
There's a lot that would, we'd have to go into more details on your history. You would need a physical exam. There are certain other objective data that I would need to really give you a good differential. But I would say that certainly the feeling of food sitting in your stomach and the change.
Yeah,
definitely.
Belching.
Yeah, you need to be seen.
All day.
Absolutely, you need to be seen.
Would it be possible if I get a contact for you that I could maybe make an appointment?
Okay, so you can. My office number is 326-4424 or 5. You can WhatsApp.
Okay. One second, please. Trinity. Come write the number down for me. 40. Okay, you can go ahead, please.
Yes, my office numbers are 326-4424 or 5. You can WhatsApp us at 425-0440.
425-0440.
Yes.
WhatsApp.
By WhatsApp.
Uh-huh.
I have another WhatsApp number. And that is, boy, if I could see it. Anyway.
You getting this?
Yeah, 827-7119.
827-7119?
Yes, you can WhatsApp that number or the 425-0440.
425-0420?
No, 440-0440.
425-0440.
Yes, or call me at 326-4424 or 5. That's the office.
326-4424 or 5. 4424 or 5.
Yes, and then of course by email I'm Dr. Dr. Gemma G E.
I just use the phone for right now.
Okay, the phone. That's fine. Yes.
Yeah, to make an appointment.
Okay, Yeah, just when you call or message, just say, I'm the guy that called the radio station. Okay?
Sounds good.
Yes.
Thank you, Doc.
I think, Gemma, we would have just helped somebody persons that have been listening. but, Gemma, Dr. Roll, go ahead and give your business number once again for persons that are listening that may be driving, because of course this is on Spotify, and so when the show re-airs, people are able to listen and get the number. So go ahead and give your number, your location of the business, and the fact that you are 100% board certified.
Yes,
one of the very few in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas,
the only double female, boarded,
the only female
gastroenterologist,
the only female.
Yes, I'm so happy about that.
I love that for you, girl.
Well, it might not be too long that I can say that,
but you have some
brilliant
first.
Women coming up.
But you are the first, Gemma. And you know what I have to say about you, Gemma?
Not the first, the only currently.
The only currently. But yes. What I can say about you, Gemma, is you never have a problem with congratulating or confirming another woman. Like, yes. That is so very rare.
Yeah. Well, you think it is?
Gemma, for Christ's sake, it's rare. I say that unequivocally.
But you know what? I think it's in my genes, because
Yama was like
Elva,
that.
Yeah. Patricia Ann Rule. Yeah. That woman, she was just amazing.
Your
like
mom
she
was.
Gave so much to others.
She did.
Sacrificing our children sometimes.
Yeah.
Because every time you come to her, she's on the phone, she's helping someone, she's talking to somebody, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey Ma, I'm here. Uh-huh. You know?
But Gemma, we learn from our moms.
Yes.
And we give. We're givers, right?
Yes.
Despite how people will misuse us. And abuse us.
But isn't that a wonderful gift that our mothers gave to us?
It is, indeed.
That we can be proud.
It is. It is.
You know, to call their name. And, mm-hmm. you know, you go into rooms and oh, you was Elva.
You was Elva's daughter? Yes,
that's
yes.
That's amazing. And it's gives me chills every time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I went to Boss. Boss. No, the on top of the hill, Mackie Street,
yes.
where you get your stuff.
Wong's.
I went mm-hmm. to Wong's today, and there was a gentleman there. I went to get 4 silver pens, right? And he said, "You's Miss Campbell's daughter, right?"
Mm.
I said, "I am Miss Campbell's daughter." He didn't know that mommy had passed.
Oh.
He said, "How your mommy doing?" I said, "Mommy gone." He said, "Oh my God, I didn't know." He
yeah.
said, "Would you come for?" I said, "I come to get some silver pens." And he purchased the pens. I said, "No, I got it." He said, "No, let me do this for
yes,
you."
Because of your mother.
But because of mommy, Gemma.
Listen, I was just telling somebody today, I have so much favor walking on this earth because of my
I'm
mother.
I'm telling you, Gemma.
Okay? It is amazing, and I'm so thankful for that.
But Gemma, it is amazing. I go by the graveyard very often. Sometimes I have to walk down in the back because, of course, the Catholic cemetery is locked. But Gemma, as somebody who has lost their mom, how are you? This is totally off topic. Chris can give me top 5 more minutes. How are you, Gemma?
I have no idea.
Because grief is, Gemma, it comes at you in waves. Gemma, it comes at you in waves. I went into the grocery store last week after dropping Anaya to school. And mommy always used to say that mommy had the most beautiful skin. I mean, mommy had the most beautiful skin for the girl from through the ghetto. And I said, "Mommy, your skin's so nice." She said, "Kenra, we used to bathe and tide." And she said sometimes she used to be the last to bathe. And Gemma, I looked at that box, and the tide wasn't in a plastic. The tide was in the box. And I thought about my mother instantly. Gemma, I just bust out right there on Nassau Street.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady came up behind me and she rubbed my back and she said, "Okay, you okay, baby?" And Gemma, I had a moment, because it comes in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that our mothers will not be there for. She won't see Gigi those graduate from Xavier's. She won't see Anaya graduate from Xavier's, Gemma.
She's trying to do to me today.
Gemma is real. There's not a day that I don't think about my ma.
Okay.
It's not a day, Gemma.
Yeah, it's tough. But you know, she's in a better place.
Yeah, yeah.
She's joined her parents. And as you know, I've lost a lot of aunts and uncles.
You have.
They're together. Shout out to Aunt Trini and shout out to Aunt Athlyn, the last two of the clan. But they're together, okay? She's not suffering, all right? I hope she's looking down at me.
Gemma, they are, because Gemma, can I tell you, I don't have everything that I want to have just yet, Gemma, but Gemma, can I tell you, from my mother left this earth, March the 5th, 2024, Gemma, I have not had a broke day. Gemma and Gemma,
yeah, yes.
Whatever prayers my mother has prayed for mm-hmm. me, Gemma, they have been forfeited to Anai. Gemma, our mothers
mm-hmm.
carved us out properly.
Yes. So one of the last questions that I got to ask my mom, because, you know, she had metastatic breast cancer, yes. Her brain was affected. So you didn't really know whether or not, you know, she knew that you were present laying next to her or sitting with her. And so one of the last things I remember her actually telling me when I asked her, I said, Mom, what am I going to do without you? Mm. What am I going to do? She said to pray. Just pray. So constant prayer.
Constant Jumbo.
So that's what she told me to do. The same way she told me never to get a tattoo. And even in her death, I will never get a tattoo.
No.
Because, you know, it's what my mom said. She said to pray.
And Jumbo, that is what we do. And Chris, I want you to please close out the show with my song. You know, it's Some Enchanted Evening. And I will go into November, Jumbo. November 30th is my mom's birthday. Mm. And I stand on Mummy being able to look over me and deny those, because it's the prayers of your mother that carry you through.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the prayers of our moms, Gemma.
Yes.
Yeah. This has been another interesting episode of Kenny's Corner. And this Tuesday, I want you to grab that person that you love dearly, because life is but a vapor. And we had the privilege of waking up this morning. And with that privilege comes testimony. And so grab that special person and you throw your leg over them tonight and you eat your popcorn and you drink your wine so that your gut could be good. boy. Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank
you, Gemma. You for being you.
Yeah, man.
Okay, you're it's an amazing person. You know, I give you your flowers all the time.
Thanks, Jem.
You know, I'm so proud of you.
I am beyond proud of you, Gemma.
Listen.
And our girls are the future.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Who run the world.
We raising them.
We raising them, Gemma. Okay. Boy. Okay. Oh, Lord, Gemma, what was we doing today? Oh, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner. Thank you so much. Thank you to Mr. Dwight Strong for giving me the opportunity to be on radio. Thank you to Chris, my engineer, who indulges me in all of my shenanigans and the overtimes. Thank you to Guardian 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And I as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dream. Tell me, who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Give you reason, wise men never try. Oh, oh, I. When you